They have played college basketball for years now. They know what it's like. They've experienced it before. You're not trying to mold brand new guys who have never done it before. They're not projects, Paul.
Yeah.
They're guys that know about this game. They've experienced it. They've been through it. To me, that's the biggest difference. And it's a very important distinction in that, yes, this is going to be a new Xavier team this coming season. New to each other, new to the fans, new to the program. But they're not new to college basketball. And I think that's a super important thing that's going to happen for Xavier.
This is the Sean Miller Podcast, presented by Deer Park Roofing. Now, here's your hosts, Paul Fritchner and Adam Baum.
Welcome into another episode of the Sean Miller Podcast. Paul Fritchner alongside Adam Baum. No Sean Miller on today's show. It is the height of portal season, and we're going to get to all that in just a minute. But as we start the show, like we always do, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Deer Park Roofing, the official payroll sponsor of the Sean Miller Podcast, payroll partners, and our friends at TGE Solar. It has been one of the busiest weeks in recent memory for Xavier basketball when you think about all the players that have transferred out. Now, especially over the last month, but here in the last 7 days, especially the guys that have left, and now some players that are starting to commit to the Musketeers. There are two reasons that Sean Miller is not on this show. One is schedule, and two, you're not allowed as the head coach of the program to comment on these players until they are officially signed. So if Sean was sitting up here, he would not be able to comment on all of the players that have committed to the Musketeers because not all of them have officially signed to join the program yet.
Which would actually make for a pretty hilarious show if you think about it. Because we'd be up here talking about these guys and Sean would just be sitting here.
Sitting on his hands. But that's why Adam and I are here today to really give you some breakdown on the roster construction. Who is left? If you haven't been following, it's been a very busy month since the season ended for Xavier. Who's left? Who has joined? And what might we see here over the next few weeks? The portal closes on May 1st, but that doesn't mean that you have to commit by May 1st. It just means that you have to enter your name into the portal by May 1st. So for example, if you want to join or put your name in the portal on the last day of April, you could leave the door open to return to your school and the whole cycle just theoretically continues. But let's first start with what Xavier has lost up until this point and who has transferred out of the program. And it is a long list, and I'm going to give that list right now. And Adam, we're going to go back and forth, give some thoughts on what Xavier won't be seeing on the court last year. But these are the players that at one point in time this season were a part of the Xavier program that have since declared that they have entered the transfer portal. Desmond Claude, which was the most significant addition this week. We'll talk about him in just a second. Abu Usman, Kachi Enze, Lazar Djokovic, Sasha Chani, Gidis Namiksha, Reed Ducharme, Cam Kraft, Logan Duncombe, and Brad Colbert. Those are 10 names that have entered the transfer portal. 10 names.
10.
And we're going to start with the one that certainly got the most attention on Friday afternoon, and that was Desmond Claude, who was a leader on this year's team, a sophomore, has 2 years of eligibility remaining wherever he ends up. But he was the one that a lot of people were waiting on from this list. I think there were not a ton of surprises from players that had transferred, maybe some intriguing decisions that you thought maybe somebody would elect to return. But Desmond Claude was the one that really everybody was questioning. Is he going to come back? Is he going to go into the transfer portal? And on Friday afternoon, maybe late Friday morning, he decided that he was going to enter the transfer portal and play elsewhere. Now, again, there is the opportunity if Desmond wanted. It doesn't officially mean you have to come to play elsewhere, but I would be beyond shocked if we were to see him in a Xavier uniform. There's no rule saying he can't, but really, to me, there's no world where Desmond at this point comes back to play at Xavier next season. He'll be playing basketball somewhere else. We just can't officially say that because that's how it works. But Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you here because, like I said, this was the biggest news as far as portalers out from this past week.
And not unexpected, though. I think it's important to point out that, you know, Des has 2 years of eligibility left. He was just named the Big East Most Improved Player. He went from averaging 4.6 points a game as a freshman to almost 17 points a game. He had multiple 30-point games last year as a sophomore. And I think the fact that it wasn't surprising was a product of, from sort of the moment the season ended, I think Xavier was aware that this was a possibility.
Yep.
And I think they were approaching the portal from a standpoint of, Dez is not going to be here next year. Now, that didn't mean that they had zero hope that he was never going to come back, but it's hard for people right now to understand and sort of rationalize, man, why wouldn't Dez want to play here next year? And that's a great question. Dez is not on this show to answer that, but there are so many factors at play now. I mean, you can look around college basketball as a whole. I mean, Duke's had a ton of guys go in the portal. You can go down the list, Auburn, Alabama, all these schools that had really good years are losing guys that they were kind of depending on and hopeful that we're going to return again the following season. This is just the way college basketball is in 2024 and 2025. We got a question right before we started, like, are we concerned about this? No. This is a sign of the times. This is the way that it is. You are going to have guys leave without a good reason or a good understanding of why. Sometimes it's just they want to do something different. Sometimes there are people telling them that this is all you need to do this. And that's the way that it's going to play out. I think the way that Xavier has responded to losing Dez is exactly what they needed to do. They went out and they got guys who can shoot, who can score, who can play. Okay. Yep. And that was priority number one in this portal. It was some guys are going to leave. You have to bring in new guys who can help Xavier win games next year. And that's what Xavier's done so far.
I think to your point, Adam, like you said, there wasn't really a name on this list that overly shocked anybody.
No.
That came out of left field that you said, oh, that's a really tough blow that Xavier wasn't expecting. I think, as you said, the coaching staff approached the portal this year with the idea that Dez Claude may not be back in a Xavier uniform. They didn't know officially until the other day. I would assume, you know, when he puts his name in the portal on Friday, they have the year-end meetings. At any point in those 3 to 4 weeks, he could have alerted the coaching staff that he wasn't going to come back. But let's just say that he took a while to make that decision, and let's just say that they didn't know officially until Thursday, the night before, or Friday morning, whenever it was, that he alerted the coaching staff that he would be officially entering the portal. This coaching staff and the guys that we're going to talk about in a few minutes that are joining the program fit the mold of what this roster needs to try and replace the production that Dez Claude would have brought to next year's team. So when we get that question, are you concerned, for people that are closely following the roster and know the dynamics of what's happening with this year's team that went 16-18, and you got to tear it down and try and build it back up. And it's never been easier to do that than it is right now with the transfer portal. You can go from 0 to 100
real quick
because of the transfer portal.
Yeah. And Sean said that on our last episode, the Goldfish episode. He said, you can fix your problems easier than you've ever been able to in the past. And I think that's how Xavier has approached this offseason is, look, we had real problems on the roster last year. Some of them were injury induced. Other of the other problems were a product of, hey, we went and got this guy. Maybe we were expecting him to play this role, or we were hoping that he would fill this need, and it didn't work out. And in today's college basketball, you have to be able to cut ties and say, okay, we're going to go in a different direction. And sometimes it's up to the player. Sometimes it's up to Xavier. You know, that's the way that the portal is right now. You can revamp things way easier than you ever have been able to in the past.
Abu Usman transferred out again, not shocking. Kachi Enze, we're going to talk about the two guys that have found landing spots. Kachi Enze, Pennsylvania native, he goes and transfers to Penn State, a high major transfer for Xavier. And then Lazar Djokovic, he just committed to the College of Charleston, the Cougars.
Chris Mack.
Coached by former Xavier head coach Chris Mack. So Lazar goes and he lands on his feet down in Charleston, and Kachi Enze at Penn State, a little closer to home.
Yeah. And then Cam Kraft,
yep,
who redshirted this year. Xavier fans didn't get to see him, but you saw him a little bit last year as a freshman. He was originally recruited by Travis Steele, and he lands in the portal and he follows Travis up to Miami of Ohio. So I think that'll be a good fit for him.
Sasha Chani and Gidas Namiksha. I have not heard either one of them potential landing spots or where they may end up. I'll be interested to see if either one of them decide to just return home to play. Gidas has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Sasha just played his first year of college basketball. So there is obviously the possibility that they could just go back to their home country, play there, or they could finish out their college career here. Reed Ducharme, Logan Duncan, Brad Colbert, the other three here on this list. Haven't heard about Reed yet, where he may potentially end up. Logan Duncan, he stepped away from the team before the season due to mental health reasons. Still waiting to see where he ends up. And then,
I think I actually saw he might be going to Winthrop.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. That's live podcasting right now.
Yeah.
I think you're correct. I'll double check that as Brad Colbert is the last name.
And Brad, former guest on this show, they actually discussed this on the episode with the walk-ons, the fact that Brad has a year of eligibility left. He was very interested in trying to go and actually play college basketball somewhere as a non-walk-on. Now, that would most likely be at the Division II or the Division III level. So he's out there in the portal right now. He's trying to find an opportunity, a place where he might be able to play next year. But, you know, if things don't work out, who knows? He might be back here as a walk-on. You never know. But obviously, we hope that he can go play college basketball. That'd be cool to see.
You were on it. Logan Duncan is going to Winthrop next year. So those are the landing spots. So 4 of the 10 have found landing spots. A lot of things in the portal can happen fairly quickly. So we'll see, even by next week, who knows, some of these guys may find their other homes. But we'll see. The Sean Miller Podcast is proud to partner with Deer Park Roofing, a company that's provided elite service for homes and businesses since 1996 and leads the industry in professionalism, quality, and responsiveness. Whether your needs are residential or commercial, like the outstanding work on the Cintas Center, the home of Xavier Basketball, Deer Park can handle any job and ensure it's done right. Deer Park's motto is protect what's important, and what's important to you is important to Deer Park Roofing. Visit DeerParkRoofing.com. Let's talk now about the guys that are coming into the program. And for everybody that's following the portal, before we get to that, when you look at how the portal is transpiring right now, it's happening really fast. There's a lot of things that happen every day, that there are moving pieces. You see one transfer at noon, then you see another transfer. Somebody's leaving, somebody's coming in, somebody's going transferring within the conference. Somebody's there. Auburn had a transfer yesterday that transferred to Alabama. I mean, it is just chaos right now in the transfer portal. It has never been more alive in the last few years than it has been this year. And it feels like it's only going to continue to grow. And I think that both things can be true, because I think for a lot of people that don't know or follow the transfer portal closely, you just look at it from this 10,000 foot picture and you think, wait a second, this isn't something I'm used to. I liked the idea of being able to follow four-year players, get to know them over the course of their career, and then eventually they graduate and hopefully they left a legacy at their school. I think both things can be true, that the transfer portal significantly hurts the casual fans' ability to follow their team in the long run. I'll give you that. But on the flip side, two things that are a way bigger positive are that you can rebuild your team and fix your problems as quickly or more quickly than you ever have been able to before. And also that the transfer portal is infinitely more entertaining than following high school or AAU recruiting and thinking about which player that's a junior in high school right now might be able to help your team 3 or 4 years down the line, but by the time they develop into being an upperclassman. You look at the NBA, and a lot of times people say that the offseason and free agency is more entertaining than the actual regular season. The transfer portal right now in April and then into May is wildly entertaining.
It is. And someone was talking to me, you know, very recently about the fact that, man, you know, we just watched Xavier this past season and they had a whole new roster and it didn't work. And now it looks like we're going to try to do that again. And my point to them was, The biggest difference in my mind between last year and this coming season was, last year you were trying to do it with a whole new roster and they were new to college basketball. They were freshmen. They were guys from overseas. You had six guys who had never set foot on a college basketball court before. The biggest difference is this coming season, yes, you're going to have a lot of new pieces, a lot of new guys who need to figure out what the system is, how to play together, all that good stuff. But they have played college basketball for years now. They know what it's like. They've experienced it before. You're not trying to mold brand new guys who have never done it before. They're not projects, Paul.
Yeah.
They're guys that know about this game. They've experienced it. They've been through it. To me, that's the biggest difference. And it's a very important distinction in that, yes, this is going to be a new Xavier team this coming season, new to each other, new to the fans, new to the program, but they're not new to college basketball. And I think that's a super important thing that's going to happen for Xavier.
And that was the clip that Sean talked about in the postgame show toward the end of the season on WLW with Joe and Byron, where he was talking about Xavier and the fact that they were never going to be that bad again, and that they were going to come back next season in 24-25 with a deeper, more experienced team.
Ready-made.
Ready-made. And
like my golf game.
Is it ready-made?
It's ready.
Is it ready?
Oh, it's ready.
I can't wait to get out. I still haven't swung a club. I got to get out.
We'll get you out.
Yeah, we'll get out. But yeah, I think I look at the way that this coaching staff is approaching this offseason right now and fixing the flaws from the season. And what is the best way to do that? It's to get older. It's to get more experience. And you do have to trust that talent from the mid-major level is going to translate up to the high major level. But in the first recruit that we're going to talk about, Dante Maddox Jr. out of Toledo, he mentioned the other day in an interview how excited he was to play for Sean Miller. And also the mold that he saw was Sule Boom and Quincy Oliveri, and that it is proven already in the last 2 years of Sean Miller being back at Xavier that you can come in as a guard, have a lot of success, and it sets you up for success potentially down the road in your professional career.
Yeah, and these are guys that have proved it already. They're very similar in a lot of ways to what Quincy was at Rice, to what Sule was at UTEP, to what Davion was at Western Kentucky. They were guys who produced at that level. And then when they came into Sean Miller and Xavier's system, they found a way to be even better. And I think that is exhibit A, B, and C for why this can work and why Xavier's banking on that it will work. And Maddox is going to be a welcome addition here at Xavier. You want to know why, Paul? Because he can shoot. He can do a lot of stuff, but that he can shoot the basketball, which is huge.
He can shoot the basketball at a very high clip. He was 40.2% from three this past season, 45% from three the season before. Maddox played 2 years at Cal State Fullerton, spent the last 2 years at Toledo, 1 year of eligibility remaining. Xavier has added four players so far in the transfer portal: Dante Maddox Jr., Ryan Conwell, John Hughley, and Marcus Foster. Three of those four are guards. Dante Maddox, a piece to that puzzle, somebody that can shoot. And Adam, what kind of offense? There's a certain kind of offense that maybe has been lacking.
Yeah.
That I think you mentioned to me yesterday might be making a return.
The make shots offense.
The make shots offense.
And another thing about Maddox, very good in transition. Very good getting out. That's a common theme with these guards that Xavier went out and got, is all three of them are going to be transition positive players, meaning Xavier wants to push it. They want to play in pace. These guys all thrive in those scenarios.
Dante Maddox Jr. said in his commitment announcement with the Field of 68, Rob Doster and Jeff Goodman, he said to them, "It's very exciting. I'm very humbled, very blessed to be able to say that I'm going to be coached by Sean Miller." And I think that speaks volumes, one, to the program and what these guys are committing to, but also, like I said, you have the mold. You have seen what Sule Boom did coming out of Conference USA, coming up here, having a spectacular season and setting himself up professionally. Quincy Oliveri coming out of Conference USA, out of Rice. You come up here to Xavier, and I know Rice isn't in Conference USA anymore, but you come up here to Xavier and you compete at this level and you don't lose a step. You only get better. And it's all about finding guys that are going to translate to that high major level. And I think they have, in these guards, we'll talk about Hughley more too, but in these three guards, they have certainly done that.
Yeah. And you know, the other guy, so Dante Maddox was this past week. So people are going to be watching this about a week removed since when he committed. Well, a few days after he committed, they got another very important one, Paul. Why don't you tell the people about Ryan Conwell?
Ryan Conwell was a name that as soon as he entered the transfer portal, popped up on my radar, and I thought, man, what a name that would be if Xavier could figure out a way to land him. I hadn't really heard much about him as far as traction coming to the program. I just saw the name pop up and thought, man, that'd be a great addition to Xavier's offense next year. Then you start hearing the rumblings that Xavier's interested. There's a lot of other schools interested. He was the second leading scorer on an Indiana State team that came up one shot short in the NIT championship game. Just that close, right off the rim on a heave at the buzzer to win the NIT. Indiana State, he was the second leading scorer behind Robbie Avila, who just committed to St. Louis last night. At over 16 points a game, he was a lights out shooter. He can get the ball up the floor. He can shoot at a high rate. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining, which is a significant development for a team that's trying to get older. But just the way that this is going right now for the Musketeers, adding a piece like Ryan Conwell, to me, is just, it's hard to understate what he brings to this team.
Yeah. To put it in better perspective for people, the Xavier team that you just saw this past season that went 16-18, that missed the NCAA tournament, they did what they did offensively in spite really of their lack of shooting. They really had one guy who was a neon green light shooter, and that was Quincy Oliveri. Well, with Maddox and Conwell, you've essentially added two guys that are, in my mind, Quincy Oliveri level shooters. Can you imagine what that's going to do for their offense and how different it's going to make the spacing and the ability to score and create headaches for the teams that are going to try to guard them when you have two guys on the floor that can absolutely fill it up from the perimeter? It's a game changer, Paul.
It really is. And we've seen in these last 3 years of Sean Miller coming here to Xavier, the offense that he wants to run. Pace, pace, pace. Get out in transition, play fast, play aggressive, score as fast as you can. You have a point guard coming back to this team this year and Davion McKnight, who I would hope gets enough credit, because if he doesn't get the credit, he should get the credit for how good, how well he played this season, how good of a season he had. He, to me, was the most important player on this year's team as far as development and what he can bring now to the table going forward. He was, I believe, he finished 19th nationally in assist to turnover ratio. He was second in the Big East by the end of the season to Cam Spencer. I can't wait to see the numbers that he puts up assist-wise next season, because you're going to be dishing to guys all over the wing in Dante Maddox Jr., Ryan Conwell, Marcus Foster. This backcourt to me, and I know I'm sitting up here with a Sean Miller podcast logo. I know I'm sitting inside the Cintas Center. I know I follow this team as closely as I do, and I don't think I'm saying this out of an echo chamber. This is going to be one of the most talented backcourts in the country next year. And 2 years ago when Xavier made the Sweet 16, Xavier finished with the eighth most efficient offense in the country on KenPom. I know it's crazy to say it can get better than number eight. There's only seven spots higher. But at least right now, and I'm assuming they add probably another piece offensively to the puzzle, a wing. Adam, I don't know if you would agree with me on that, but I think the potential is sky high next year for this team offensively.
A ton of potential. And it's fun to think about. It'll be even more fun to see it when it's finally November and we can start watching college basketball again. The other thing that I think about is, like, yes, they've added shooting. They've added a lot of backcourt players, but you're also going to have Zach Fremantle back healthy. The hope is at some point you're going to have Jerome Hunter back from that torn Achilles. You're going to have guys in the front court who can catch, who can finish, who can draw fouls, that's going to give Xavier another dynamic with their offense. Like this year, they were so very like one or two dimensional in that you were relying on jump shots or Dez Claude or Davion McKnight drives to generate a lot of your offense. This coming season, you're going to have guys who can score on the perimeter. You're going to have guys who can attack the rim. You're going to have big men who can finish around the basket, high, low, back to the basket, all that good stuff. They're going to be a three-level team offensively, and then you factor in transition as well. So I don't think it's crazy to talk like that or think that way right now, Paul.
The one note I would say on Jerome Hunter, and this is just now, it's April. He tore his Achilles on February 5th. For everything that I've heard, that we've heard on Jerome, you know, we saw the pictures posted from Xavier's social media accounts the other day. He's progressing along normally. Haven't been any hiccups yet that we've heard. Don't know. Again, the Achilles used to be an injury that, I don't want to say it was career ending, that's dramatic, but it was an injury that would keep you out for a long, long time. And I know a lot of people also have talked about Justin Moore tearing his Achilles back in 2022 for Villanova, and he didn't quite look the same. But I think what a lot of people forget about Justin Moore is he also had a knee injury as well to go along with that this season. And so I wouldn't, that's not an apples to apples comparison between the two. But it's good to see at least Jerome, you know, we saw him doing squats the other day and doing all this. And I texted Connor Barnes, the trainer, and I just said, man, modern medicine is a marvel. The fact that we're 3 months-ish removed from him tearing his Achilles and he's already, boom, right back in there in the weight room.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. And if there's one guy that I'm pulling for to be out there on that court next year, it's Jerome Hunter. I want to see him end his college career the right way and go out the way he deserves. But we talked about two of the three guards.
Let's talk about the third.
Marcus Foster from Furman.
Another Marcus Foster returns to the Big East.
And what I will say is that his shooting numbers don't jump off the page the way that Conwell's and Maddox do. But Marcus Foster brings some other things that those two don't necessarily bring as well. Like Marcus Foster is a very good rebounder from the wing position. He's what, 6'4", or is he bigger than that?
Yeah, I believe he's listed at 6'4".
And he's built. Like, you look at pictures of Marcus Foster, it looks like he spends some time in the weight room, and I think that's a big reason why he rebounds it the way that he does.
6'4", 200.
Yeah, and what are, you know, he's not as good of a shooter numbers-wise, but he's a guy that can step into threes and knock them down.
He is. So he has 1 year of eligibility left. He's played all 4 years of his career so far at Furman. He's coming off a season in which he shot 30% from three. So not great, but respectable. But the 2 years prior, he shot 36% and 36.7%. So right around there, two fairly good seasons from three, you know, in the mid 30s. And again, a guy that you get out there, you get him the ball. He's not going to be Quincy Oliveri. He's probably not going to be Ryan Conwell, but he's going to be a trustworthy option from three to spread the floor.
And that's such a welcome sight for Xavier when you just went through a season where you kind of felt like, man, we don't really have enough shooting. To bring a third guy into the fold who's going to be someone that can play on the perimeter and knock down shots and help you in other ways too. At some point, we're going to talk about, you know, the fact that what the defense might look like, but you and
forget
I have kind of talked about this off air, and it's like, who cares?
Who cares?
Let's go make shots. Let's score a ton of points. And what I will say about the defensive side of things is I wouldn't write off their ability to defend just because they're known for their offense. Like, I would say give Sean Miller and his staff a chance to mold these guys, teach them this system, and see what happens, right? Like, stranger things have happened. They've been playing basketball. They're experienced. They know about the game. Things might click. You know, they might be better than we anticipate at that end of the floor. And the other thing I'd say is, like, Dez Claude, one of the areas where he really helped you out and that you missed, that you're going to miss, is his defensive presence. And I would say, if I'm Dalen Swain, I am going to eat dumbbells this offseason. I am going to come back ripped, physically ready to play. And Dalen Swain is going to be a guy next year who has the absolute potential and the intangibles to be a defensive stopper in the Big East. If he gets stronger, if his body develops and he can handle the physicality that comes with playing high-level defense, he showed it last year. He's bigger than Dez was. He's probably more athletic than Dez was. Like, he has some things that can – that is not crazy to think that Dalen Swain could be that guy.
A breakout season next season. Sophomore, you know, the jump from freshman and there, year
that's
to sophomore
a, that's
year.
That's a role that's available. Yep. It's like, hey, Dalen, if you want to play some minutes next year, we need a lockdown defender. We need a guy who can guard the Kadari Richmonds, who can guard the other team's best wing players. Like, that's available. It's there for the taking.
So those were the three guards that are joining next year's Xavier team. The one big, John Hughley out of Oklahoma.
Very big.
Very big. So Hughley played 3 years at Pitt. He played this past season at Oklahoma. He has been significantly injured at different points in his career. So he does have 2 years of eligibility remaining, even though he has already logged minutes in four seasons. But, I mean, you look back at 2023, he really didn't play a lot. He only played in, I think, about 8 games that season. So he's been hurt a lot. He has missed time in 3 of his 4 seasons. The only season where he played every game was his best season. And that was 21-22. Had a very good season that year, has had some hiccups in the last couple of years with injuries. But if you can get Hughley back to that 22 season and the form that he was in then, that's what Xavier's looking at for him this coming year.
Yeah, that's you and Rick made this point, I think, on a Twitter Spaces, that he's already proven that when healthy, he's capable of being a guy that darn near averages a double-double from the low post in a major, high-major conference in the ACC. I think he averaged, like, what, 14-8 at Pitt during that year that you referenced. So, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to be a guy that can score, that can rebound. And you know, they need a guy that they can post up on the low block, throw it down there to him, let him go to work, and let him finish. And that's exactly what he is in my mind.
This Xavier team next year, you talk about the offense, the defense, the comparisons between the two, and adding John Hughley into the fold. You're probably going to need another big, probably going to need another wing, especially now that Dez Claude is transferred. But going back to the offense and defense thing, there are going to be people listening to this, as I always say, driving along in their car, screaming at me, and I don't care. I have always, for somebody that has said, you know, defense wins championships, whatever, sorry. Get me an offense that can score 100 points. And that's like going back to talking about the Twitter Spaces, what we were talking about with Rick the other day. You'd much rather be able to go out there and score 100 and just make the other team outscore you. I will take that every single day of the week. That's just my personal philosophy in watching basketball. It's more fun to watch.
Yeah.
And it can pay off in today's day and age. We've seen it happen. Alabama made the Final Four this year, basically doing that same thing. Connecticut had the best offense in the country this year. An offense is so valuable because you can rely on the defense to get you stops. But what I always say is what happens when you get down into a close game, say you're dominating a game, right? You're a defensive-minded team that gets down into a 53-47 game. Well, it feels like that team is dominating the game because they're making it so hard to score. That other team hits 2 threes, boom, it's a tie game. Give me a team that can score 100 points every single day of the week. Do you agree, Adam Baum?
Run to score, pace, push, all those good things. Yeah.
So from here, as we sit here on Sunday afternoon, April 21st, 10 guys have left the program. 4 guys have committed to the program. When everybody has signed to the program, we will have hopefully, we will. At some point, we will have the players on the show to allow everybody watching and listening to this to get to know them, to let Sean introduce them to Xavier Nation. That will happen at some point this summer once those guys make it to campus. I don't anticipate it being anytime soon that we'll have them on the show, but it'll happen throughout the offseason. But where do you think Xavier goes from here now?
I think it's almost it's almost definitive in my mind that they're going to go and get another big man, preferably someone who has size, who's maybe more defensive minded, like a guy that can really go out there and protect the rim, who can potentially like switch on some perimeter ball screens. There are some bigs out there in the portal who I think kind of fit that mold that, that Xavier's looking at. And then I also wouldn't be shocked at all if they try to find one more wing player, maybe with multiple years of eligibility. So let's just run through it. Like, you've got Davion McKnight back at the point guard. You've got Trey Green still on the roster, expected back next year.
I'm really interested to see what Trey Green brings to this team next year, because he's somebody that has a year in the system, going to fight for minutes because the guards are loaded. But also, there's something to be said for somebody that's been around and has been a part of the team and knows what Sean Miller expects.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about having a guy like Trey Green around is he's a ball handler and he can shoot. And yeah, did he struggle at times defensively as a freshman? Yes. I think most freshmen are going to struggle at times defensively. But like, it, in a pinch, if you need a guy to go out there, take care of the ball, make free throws, step into a three-pointer when they're open, Trey can do all those things, okay? So then you have Dalen Swain. We talked about him. Unfortunately suffered a ruptured appendix, had to have an appendectomy at the end of the season last year, but he was also in those Twitter pictures that you mentioned, which are working out and trying to get bigger and more physically. He had a great freshman year. Like, I'm expecting Dalen to take another step forward as a sophomore.
Zach Fremantle is somebody I want to spend a minute on, Zach, because we talked about him a minute ago, and I want to talk a little bit more about him. I don't want to speak on behalf of the coaching staff because I'm not in the meetings every day. I'm not at the,
the
practice. You know, we're not around. We don't see everything.
They don't let you in those meetings.
I wish it would be a fly on the wall. So I don't know what the dynamic is every day, but I do know what I see in practice. And I do know what I talk to Zach about and what I hear from other people around the program. And I think Zach at points in his career has maybe caught some criticism from fans or, you know, done things. We saw him in the first, month of being coached under Sean Miller, he was, you know, had that initial suspension. And I think there has been a learning process for Zach at points in his career. But in the last few months, he was cleared to practice. We saw him in practice. He was cleared for non-contact back in the middle portion of the winter. And then toward the late part of the season, he was full go in practice. And at least to me, in the limited interactions that I had and being able to talk with him before practice, after practice, like I said, hearing from other people around the program, I have seen a very different Zach Fremantle in the last 5 months than I have at any point in the first 4 years of his career. And I think that I'll say this now, the year off and what he has had to gone through with the multiple foot surgeries and everything else, and realizing the opportunity now that he has with 1 year of eligibility remaining at Xavier and everything he has put into this program, and he's coming back and he hasn't played in the NCAA tournament because he's been hurt and hurt and hurt. And he had the one chance 2 years ago and he got hurt. And I think he realizes the valuable opportunity that he has in front of him. And he's doing everything he can to work as hard as he can and be the leader that he wants to be going into next season. And I'll say that now. And maybe somebody listening to this on the inside of Xavier could disagree with me, but at least from what I have seen with Zach, that's what I would say about him.
Yeah. You're not crazy at all. Zach's not alone either. Like, let's be real. I think the way that a few guys are going to be approaching this season is like, this is my last ride. Zach's one of those guys. Jerome's going to be one of those guys. Davion McKnight, this is it for him. Dante Maddox, this is it for him. Marcus Foster, this is it for him. You know, barring something unforeseeable, these guys, this is going to be the end of their college basketball career. You don't think they're going to want to go out with a bang here. So, yeah, I mean, a lot is going to be different about the way Xavier looks next year. The one thing that I think will be most different is I think the end results are going to be very different in my mind. You know, I think that, like, the way last season went, this is a motivated coaching staff. It's going to be a motivated roster. They've gone out and they've gotten talent that's available, and they're probably not done. So By the time people listen to this, things may be things may be different.
Josh,
I don't know.
When is this show going out? Monday morning or Tuesday morning? Monday morning? All right, Monday morning. Hopefully things haven't changed by Monday morning.
With our luck, they will.
And I just to wrap this show up, one last thing I want to say, too, is because Xavier made a massive NIL push with the final 2% Victory Parkway exchange, you know, Musketeer gear, everybody that's been a part of the NIL push here over the last few months. There were questions about what Xavier was going to bring to the table with NIL-wise from the fan base, you know, a few months ago. What was Xavier going to be able to do in the portal? And a lot of people stepped up in a big way, and you're seeing the fruits of that now. So I do want to applaud everybody that stepped up for the NIL push here over the last few months, because you're starting to see the fruits of that pay off in the transfer portal, and it's not done yet. It's not done yet. Adam, what are you going to be doing tonight on a Sunday night to wrap up the weekend?
Probably watch Scottie Scheffler win another golf tournament. I don't know. Hopefully like a Xander Schauffele top 10, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to watch it. I'll do it all with a shot of wild turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
This has been another episode of the Sean Miller Podcast. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsor, Deer Park Roofing. Thanks to our payroll sponsors of the Sean Miller Podcast, payroll partners, and our friends at TGE Solar. Thanks to Josh Simsrott, the man behind the camera, our producer, for cooking everything up. That's Adam Baum. I'm Paul Fritschner. We'll be back soon on the Sean Miller Podcast.
This has been the Sean Miller Podcast, presented by Deer Park Roofing, with your hosts, Paul Fritschner and Adam Baum. Join us again soon for another episode with the head coach of the Xavier Musketeers, Sean Miller.
The Sean Miller Podcast is proud to partner with Payroll Partners, where you're not just a number. That means providing a best-in-class HR and payroll experience that was built on award-winning technology and live support customer service with a dedicated payroll specialist who's just a phone call away. You shouldn't have to choose between technology and customer service. At Payroll Partners, you get both. Payroll Partners is locally owned and operated by a proud Xavier alum. Visit payrollpartners.net. That's payrollpartners.net.
Life as a student here at Xavier, you have the best of both worlds. You have this small Jesuit private school with a really intimate campus where I think everybody seems to know each other. You walk into a classroom, the professor knows your name. You obviously know the professor and you know your classmates. However, you're not in a small college town where that's all we have. It's just the opposite. You can access the city in quick 5 minutes. You have the professional sports scene, the diversity of a huge city over the Rhine. What it's become is just incredible. It really is. Some of the places that we all can go. And for a student at Xavier too, it just continues to offer the best of both worlds. I really believe that's one of our strengths at Xavier. It's an amazing way of getting a great education.
Stop renting your power, own it. TGE Solar makes it easy to purchase solar panels for your home or business so you can take control of your monthly electricity bill and start saving today. They'll help you find the best solar system to meet your needs, and their expert in-house installation team makes the process seamless. They're proud to be based in Cincinnati, family-owned and operated by a Xavier alum. Mention this podcast and save $1,000. Visit TGESolar.com to request your free energy evaluation today.